You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Start here with you because plenty of people, they are seeing the N-word, they are seeing misogyny, they're seeing toxic workplace, they're seeing the precedent of Donald Sterling, and they're saying the Suns owner needs to be out. And Adam Silver said the powerless thing out loud during his terrible press conference yesterday. And it seems like we're a long way from Sterling in the press conference when Silver showed he was the new boss, when he said, hey, I work for these people. They have a charter and I do not have the right or the power to actually take away his team. He said it flatly, I thought.
That's exactly correct. Not only did he say it, but that's not really why he's being crushed. He's being crushed because he said that owners operate under a different set of rules than the employees. That's the quiet part that he shouldn't have said out loud. It happens to be completely true, and you have not heard it yet, but on This Morning's Nothing Personal, one thing that I went to very big detail on is how you cannot put racism and misogyny and sexism. They're on a list somehow, and racism is at the top of the list. It's the third rail. If you do that, you're Sterling. If you don't do that, then you get a year, $10 million, and everyone goes on their way. And that's what happened here with Sarver and with Silver. But the bigger point is that the reason the players are speaking up is that they don't like or appreciate the fact that Adam Silver said, hey, owners get one set of rules, and you as players or other front office employees get another set of rules.
But let's examine for a minute what Amin was saying yesterday about the charter, about what his power actually is. Silver can't do this.
Just to be clear, that's not collectively bargained. I know you said that yesterday, and I don't know if that made it into the show, but you had said something about collective bargaining, the $10 million and how that works. That is not part of it. That's a different set of rules. There are agreements that you sign when you buy a team and you become a franchisee. It's like buying a Chick-fil-A, basically. And you have to abide by the rules of the National Basketball Association that have nothing to do with any rights or obligations as it relates to employees or players. And in that charter, in that it's really a franchise agreement and the rules of basketball, there are limits to the power of the commissioner, and owners do that on purpose. What company makes up an employee handbook that gives power to the employees to make decisions over the fate of the employer?
But David, what do you make of the fact that he said the quiet part out loud? Because I was sort of imagining yesterday, if Roger Goodell said the same thing as the reason why he couldn't throw Daniel Snyder out of his league, he would be excoriated for that. He would be saying, look at the NFL being sort of like big tobacco. They can't figure this out. They're, you know, Roger Goodell is a terrible commissioner. Adam Silver has a ton of goodwill, which is why he's not completely being destroyed for that. But I'm still stunned that he went out there and had a very Goodellian sort of move in front of the press.
Well, you know, that's because he's been Teflon, right? He's known as one of the most liberal, if not the most liberal commissioner. And he stands up as having the best relationship with his players. And you don't see any animus. And I don't like using the word animus now, given that it was associated with racial animus in their memo. But that's a good word. But the fact is, there have been tons of bargaining and labor issues with the players over the years in the NBA. Lockouts, et cetera, missed games, shortened seasons. So it's not as though the NBA has not gone through what the other leagues have gone through, but Adam Silver has somehow skated. But the biggest mistake he made yesterday, to me, was having his statement clarified by a PR spokesman. He didn't even stand up and say, hey, I didn't mean to say that. Employees and players are all treated the way owners are. Owners are treated the way employees are. We all have to do what's right. He had Mike Bass say it. And so I was thinking about why in this situation he would ever do that, because it makes him look even worse. And it can't be because he's taken one for the owners here on this particular issue. It just means he was so flustered by this story and by this sort of little kink in his armor that he panicked.
David, how surprised were you that the usual stoic, cool, calm, collected Adam Silver panicked and was flustered in this case?
I hadn't seen it. And that's what was interesting to me. Everybody has their breaking point. And it's just a matter of what it is and then how it manifests itself. And this one, he didn't look good. And then he doubled down and made himself look worse. I think the interesting part of this discussion is whether or not Chris Paul and LeBron James, whether or not they have the power to actually change anything with their statements. And I would argue and tell all of your listeners the answer is no.
I mean,
they can say whatever they want. It's not going to matter.
What were your thoughts on LeBron and Chris Paul being so strong about we got this totally wrong as a league?
I thought LeBron's statement was stronger. I thought Chris Paul, given that he plays for the team in question, it felt like a very political answer to be on the quote-unquote right side of history. But I expected more fire and brimstone out of him. Because he plays for the Suns, and I didn't feel like I got it. Like David said, I don't think anything's going to happen, and I don't think it's because these guys don't have power in the sense of the power to dictate what happens to Robert Sarver or what happens to any owner in the league. I think it's more about and sharing conversations with former coworkers over there. I told them, I said, the only way this thing escalates is if people don't stop talking about it, if people are outraged and beside themselves. And the reality is, much of the reaction has been kind of, that sucks. And I can already feel it. This is one of those ones where, like, a week from now, it's over. We're talking about week two of the NFL. We're talking about the baseball playoffs rounding in. We're not talking about this a week from today unless someone makes a bigger fuss about it.
Amin, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
If you don't mind, about Chris Paul. You're criticizing him because you believe he's in a position, being on the team, to have, I think you said, fire and brimstone. If Dan did something or John Skipper did something that you did not approve of, do you believe you're in a better position because you work with them, where you then have the responsibility to actually go above and beyond what you may actually think, but because there's a bigger cause involved, that you're going to go above and beyond and be public about what they did and how disgusted you are and how wrong it is and how they should be punished more than they were?
Okay, so I think there are a couple of things at play here. Number one is my relationship with Dan and Skipper is not equal to the relationship Chris Paul has with Robert Sarver, in the sense that, forget about my prior relationship with Dan, that I know him, right? It's more about, I am a imminently replaceable cog in a machine here, whereas Chris Paul is one of the biggest stars in the league and has a level of leverage that you would agree, David. It's not employee-employer when you talk about player versus owner. It's more like contract. Or, you know, you think it is employee-employer.
I don't agree with you at all.
You think Chris Paul is like, well, I hope boss man don't be mad if I say something. You think he's...
Well,
he's
I wouldn't say it that way, but Chris Paul is the same as you.
I would not agree with that at all. I think Chris Paul has the ability. First of all, he's got the financial resources to say, I don't need any of this, I can walk away. I do not. Second of all, even if I had the financial resources to walk away and never work again, but saying I want to work again, Chris Paul would have a line of employers waiting to employ him. I don't think I would have that, right? In the sense that Chris Paul, regardless of what an owner might feel about, well, he's the guy that spoke out against his owner or whatever, they still see, well, he's a hell of a basketball player and he can make us better on the court. Whereas I don't know if an employer would look at me the same way. They would say, yeah, he's pretty good on air. Is he good enough for me to risk him organizing a mutiny? Probably not.
Dave, Chris Paul has real power, but we're not talking about whether he has as much power as an owner. He does not.
Yeah. All I'm saying is the power dynamic between me and the people I work for is very different than the power dynamic with Chris Paul and the team he plays.
You're holding him to a different standard because he's got more money than you.
No,
you're holding him to a different standard because he has more leverage or more potential employers.
That makes
no sense to me.
It makes
I don't
absolute
think that's
sense.
Fair to do.
It makes absolute sense, right? Especially if you are trying to position yourself as someone who is outraged by this. If he didn't feel that way, that's a different story. I'm assuming he feels the way that many others feel, that this was a toothless punishment. But the reality is he does have more leverage and the money does offer him more of a security cushion to be bold with his statements in a way that I could not. By the way, I was someone who was bold with my statements at my prior employer at ESPN, and I got cracked down for it. And some might say my relationship deteriorated immensely with my employer because I was bold when everyone else said, oh, we'll just go, I guess this is the new normal. I said, no, this is unfair. What's happening to these people, what's happening to these people over there, because you guys want to hire this guy? That's not right. I said it, and when I'll never forget this. I will never forget this. I was on air on July 1 the free agency started, and I had expressed explicitly to everyone making that show, I don't want to be on screen with that guy. I get it, it's a new toy. You guys want to run him out there? Run him out there. Have me off on that segment. And so they said, okay, no, we got it. And we're sitting there, and the first segment he's on, I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden I see him on the screen, and I look at everybody like, y'all really want to do this? And they went through the
whole— Who are you talking about?
I'm not going to say it because, everyone—
It's Woj.
People know, right? So they're doing—
It's not?
They're doing the segment.
It's Adrian Wojnarowski, but it's not coming out of his mouth.
It didn't come out of my mouth.
It was Woj.
I didn't say
it. Go back to the tape on July 1st and see who was in the first 10 seconds.
Nothing to go with Woj in this program. Like, we all know.
So he's saying he's there on the screen, and they're like, everyone's going to ask him a question. And every time they cut to him, I look straight at the camera. I broke fourth wall. Stare deadpan. And then when someone would ask a question, I'd look at who's asking the question on the panel, and then I'd turn back and I'd deadpan stare at the camera, but I wasn't staring at the camera. I was staring at the producer behind it because I was telling him, you know what you did. You know what you did. I told you specifically, and you guys thought, it'll be fine. He's a pro. He'll just play along. Bullshit, I wouldn't. So after the show, one of the other producers, a good friend of mine to this day, says to me, I don't know why you're making such a big deal of this. If that happened to you, those people that got screwed over wouldn't be sticking up for you in the same way. And I said, that's not how I'm built. And that's me not making millions of dollars. And that's me not being the biggest star in the franchise or in the industry. And that's me not being the guy who was the president of the union or any other sort of power and leverage and money and influence and all of those things that Chris Paul has that I don't. I did it. So I don't say that flippantly where it's like, well, I thought he could have been louder. I say that understanding as someone who did it without that stuff, without those privileges, that he had the privilege to go a lot harder than he did.
It's incredibly dangerous to impugn people for not being loud with fire and brimstone because they've got the ability. It's just, it's not right. And so I understand what you did, and I appreciate what you did. And the world is full of historical figures who do what you do, who don't have money, who don't have leverage or power, but they take a stand, and the stand ends up being the beginning of the pebble that causes the avalanche of change. But the people in power, you know, we always say speak truth to power and all the stuff that Dan likes saying. Chris Paul, he doesn't, at the end of the day, LeBron James, Chris Paul, none of them actually care whether Robert Sarver has the team, sells the team, keeps the team, or is suspended more than a year. They really don't.
That's a different conversation you're having, David. You're saying,
yes,
I'm not.
I
don't believe they're sincere.
I was trying to move on.
Okay. All right. Well, then there it is.
But I don't know. Am I wrong for thinking that the former president of the Players Association shouldn't have more ferocious opinion on this?
I think he should, unless, like I said, if
is
we're saying
impacting the union if, in any way, is it impacting player compensation?
Well, I mean, he's using the N-word. You've got an owner in a predominantly black league and running in the WNBA, a women's league and a black league. You have him, you know, being disparaging for the employees.
But yes, I agree with all that. But is it in any way hurting? And I am not defending Robert Sarver. Let's be right. very clear. The guy is a piece of absolute shit. But I am merely saying that the punishment in this case, they knew exactly what they were doing. This was going to be the exact conclusion before the investigation yeah. even started. So now the outrage, I just find it to be a waste of time. Why don't we focus on trying to be better, all of us, in terms of
How
our misogyny, in terms of the jokes we tell?
Without being outraged, what are you just like, everyone changes their minds all of a sudden? Without
the
outrage?
I agree. It's very difficult
to say. The outrage and the public
shaming
seems to be the only thing that has held anyone accountable over the last few years, David, in any circumstance. And I don't even think anyone has really been held accountable either. But
right.
like that's one
so
of the only tools the public has. Like, all we have is outrage, right?
No,
there's not going to be
no,
a law
don't.
Passed.
No, that's my point. You have more than that. If you are outraged, stop talking about the NBA on your show. Do not spend $1 with any merchandise. Don't go to any games. Make sure that you don't use the products that any of the sponsors have of the NBA. There's plenty you can do instead of being outraged. But who the hell wants to do that when they can be entertained watching the NBA?
So you're calling for a nationwide ban of the NBA and all of its sponsors?
Of course I'm not.
You
I'm
just
giving
did.
You an opportunity to say what you could do other than outrage to make a difference. Listen, look at Danny Snyder and Mark Cuban and the litany, the list of other owners who are inappropriate and ridiculous misogynists and don't know how to run a front office and tell off-color jokes and do things that make people feel uncomfortable in ways that make Porky's seem like a normal movie, right? There's no ramifications
Porky's.
To any of it
Porky's.
Because the
Porky's.
Money continues.
Porky's, a 1970s comedy.
You can't tell me that this situation is not going to affect the free agent's decision to go to the team, though, David.
Or telling you that. Yes, I am telling you that.
Yeah, I mean, people sign with the Los Angeles Clippers, right? But I'm surprised to hear you say that it's not a players' union issue, though, because this is their workplace. And what is the first job of a union, if not to maintain the integrity of a workplace, isn't it?
Oh, Chris, come on. The NBA Players Association is concerned with making sure that they spend all of their time making sure that the teams and the owners don't hide calculable revenue that goes into calculating what the cap is. But that is what they do.
So this is
they
just
don't
money.
Care that there are locker room jokes going on.
David, you're so cynical about unions. I mean, come on,
it's
really?
It's not about the union. It's I'm not cynical about it. You're wrong to paint me in that. I'm telling you what a union's job is. Go talk to anyone who works for the Players Association and ask them what is their number one role. Well, and they're not going to say to make sure that employees are treated well in the front
office.
But
David, you just did a false equivalency there. You said number one role, but no one here said that's the number one role.
Top 10. Fair enough. Top 10.
You can
Top
name five. Nine other things that they care about other than one of the owners
oh,
good, being honestly. Potentially
oh,
racist
my
and
God,
misogynistic.
Yes. We haven't even gotten into stuff that makes your eyes water, like pensions and
That's
retirement
money.
Benefits.
You said money's number one. Pension and
oh,
retirement
so can
benefits.
Money, so money covers everything?
Compensation is pretty much a catch-all.
That's money, yeah. When yeah. you're
no,
bargaining.
Compensation is, you know this, pension is not compensation until you're old.
Dominic Foxworth is going to join us later in the show. He says this show gets a lot wrong about unions, and he's got opinions about the unions that he wants to share with us where he says we get things wrong.
But either way, though, like I
do or you do.
No, that we do. That we as a show. Dominic Foxworth plans to correct us later in the show.
But I still do think at the same time, though, David, like part of the Donald Sterling thing was the player uprising. And I would presume that was partially in concert with the union, that players got together, players from across teams, not just the Los Angeles Clippers, were part of the reason why Donald Sterling was eventually publicly pressured out of that position. Do you not think?
No, Donald Sterling was caught on tape being racist.
But we have emails, we have a report, the NBA has corroborated these allegations. Robert Sarver has a pattern of racism. He has a pattern of misogyny. He has a pattern of all kinds of
but
isms.
But there was a top five list, Chris, of things that get you forced to sell, and racism's number one through five, and they actually found specifically there was no racial animus in any of the things that he did.
Well, that's what they said.
Well, that's the whole point.
But David, I agree with you in that. I told this to Dan yesterday. I said if any of the, I read a tweet by Nate Duncan. He said if any of the 20 worst things that were mentioned in that report was either on film or on audio, he'd be gone. It's the Ray Rice thing. It's like, hey, Ray Rice hit his wife in an elevator, knocked her unconscious. 3 games. Hey, here's the video. Oh my God, get him out of here. Right? Nothing changed between us hearing about the incident and us seeing the incident. It was the same incident, but our ability to see it created an outrage that pushed the punishment further than what the league originally decided. Same thing with Donald
Sterling. Something did change, right? It's proof.
Well, I mean, it's not. Well, no, it was never in question whether or not he did it. Right?
When you see something on video, do you not agree that that leads to a different level of reaction?
It's kind of ridiculous when we have it, like, it is proven this happened, and yet it takes me seeing it or hearing it for people to feel motivated. In the same way with Donald Sterling, that was not Donald Sterling's first dalliance with racism. He had been a documented racist time and time again over decades, since before he was an NBA owner. We knew it. Everyone who worked in the league.
People who get killed by police. Do you think that with George Floyd having it on video, that created a huge difference?
Absolutely, but that's my point. My point is, it's kind of ridiculous that you need to have a graphic representation of it to believe something that has been proven to be true again and again.
We agree on that, but it ain't going to change. Video matters. It's why everyone walks around with their phone.
Couldn't it just be that the other owners like Sarver more than they like Donald Sterling?
No, absolutely. In fact, I'm going to go on. Well, they do like him more than Sterling, but I've told you what the list is. No, I've told people what the list is, having talked to owners about this. It was Sterling at the top, but, and I was surprised by one of the names on this list, it is after that. It's Sarver, Dolan, and Ballmer's on there as well. Ballmer is on the list.
You know why Ballmer's on the list, right?
Jealousy.
That's absolutely right. Ballmer, if you add up, he's number one. He's the richest owner in the NBA. If you add up the next 14 owners, they still don't equal what Ballmer's worth. That is absolutely jealousy, because he throws money around like it's not a thing, because it's not for him. And they feel like that's in poor taste as one of the new guys on the block.
But if they can't get this guy gone when they don't like him, and this is the litany of proof, David, it tells you that Silver got the one guy he could with the one crime he could.
He did. That's it. I agree with you. That's it. He did the best he can. Sarver is going to sell eventually for estate planning purposes, or he'll just get tired of bad press or of being yelled at.
Mm-mm.
But
I'm telling you,
I think
you
he'll
right
keep
now.
The team for 10 more years.
And I think when he's done, if his sons express any sort of interest in running the club, he's passing it on to them.
The Phoenix Suns.
Nothing Personal is the name of the podcast. David, what is some of the subject matter in sports that you found most titillating and stimulating from yesterday that you're covering on Nothing Personal?
Well, today we covered Robert Sarver. We also covered what happened in the Supreme Court with Yeshiva University, which is a pretty big deal, the ruling that came out. But I understand that that's not something you want to talk about, but I found it fascinating. And I also talked about the fact that a player got fired yesterday. Did you guys see that?
I did not.
Agents very rarely fire players. And a guy who plays for the Cleveland Guardians, his name is Zach Plesac. He's a pitcher. You may remember him from violating COVID protocols. You may remember him from getting hurt by punching the mound, like just idiocy. But CAA fired him, and he's about to go to arbitration. And so they decided he's such a pain in the ass that they're not going to make money from him right as they're about to make money from him. And I found that to be interesting, and I explained to the audience why an agency would do that.
David, we actually, I don't believe on this program, ever touched on what happened to Doug Gottlieb. So he has since recanted his report about Freddie Freeman. And Dan, you I think referenced the time that Michael Irvin said, you know, report with all the zeal that which you've initially accused me of. And I don't think we did.
Not the way he said it, by the way.
probably not. But either way, like, we didn't really sort of apologize to Freddie Freeman or his agent, because we talked about that as if we, you know, believed Doug Gottlieb's story. We entertained it. We, you know, Stugatz insulted him. And I don't think that we, like, have ever really,
we've
like,
never covered that.
What, that story?
Well, here, let
I've
me
never
read.
Covered that with
let
you, because I would have told you there's no chance in the world that Casey Close did not communicate with Freddie Freeman, or that Freddie Freeman did not know of an offer from the Braves. Because when you make an offer to one of your players, you send it to the agent. You also send it to the player. So Freddie Freeman knew every single back and forth with the Braves without a doubt. So when Doug Gottlieb said what he said, all the people in the industry just laughed it off. Like, of course that's not the case. But Casey Close got so annoyed by it that he actually sued him and got Doug Gottlieb to say, oh yeah, I made that
well,
up.
Well, let me backtrack for a second and help the audience with some of the details here. So Doug Gottlieb reported that Freddie Freeman went to the Dodgers and left the Braves, and that Freddie Freeman fired Close because Close hadn't come to him with the last best offer from the Braves and had kept information from his client. Close was so offended by this, and it would come close to or end Close's career if this was actually true, but it's so not true that Doug Gottlieb had to be profuse to avoid litigation. Let's listen. Pull up the quote there, Chris, and read the quote from Gottlieb, where this is very clearly something he had to write, in which he gives up all of his dignity in exchange for, please don't sue me for millions of dollars.
Upon further vetting of my sources, a review of the lawsuit filed against me in this matter, and a direct conversation with Casey himself, I have learned that the conduct I alleged did not occur, and that there is no credible basis for stating that it did. My ultimate investigation into this matter confirms that Casey Close did, in fact, communicate all offers to Freddie Freeman, and the sources I relied on were incorrect in no uncertain terms. I appreciate the damage that misinformation like this can cause, and I've been in touch with Casey Close to apologize directly. I have also deleted my original tweet.
Blame somebody else.
Thank God he deleted the tweet. That's it. Now we're good. Now he doesn't owe millions of dollars.
That statement should have just been me. that is absolutely fear of lawyers.
David, going back to the firing of Zach Plesac by CAA, you say it's a rare occurrence.
Is that Dan Plesac's son?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a nephew, but it could be a son.
It's a nephew.
But you can check it.
So this is the second such occurrence I can remember in the last 6 months, with Russell Westbrook being fired by his agent. And at the time, I thought it was incredibly poor taste by Russell's former agent to publicly announce, you know, like the pound of flesh, and have a whole tell-all on ESPN.com of why he did it. Because
that was malpractice.
Guys split ways with agents all the time, right? And you just move on because that's the business. This idea where you have to do kind of like a cock of the walk to tell everybody why you're doing it, I thought was in poor taste. How would you compare and contrast that event with what happened to Plesac?
Russell Westbrook is a huge star who's made a ton of money for his agent, right? Mm-hmm. So malpractice is the opposite. Russell Westbrook getting the maximum, getting paid what he's getting paid when he's never been worth that, means his agent should be complimented for what he's been able to accomplish for Westbrook. I don't know the Russell Westbrook. I've never met him, so I don't know what he's like as a client. But he certainly, it can't be the juice is not worth the squeeze, because the agency has made so much money off him, as opposed to Plesac, where he hasn't made his money yet. So all the investment into him is just beginning to pay off, whereas Westbrook's agent, he's not going to get another deal anywhere near what he's making now, in my opinion. He's done making money, so why bother with him anymore?
I meant more of the idea of being publicly announcing this rather than just parting ways and just moving on.
I think that's just getting ahead of a story, which is what we teach people to do, given the way the media is right now, that everybody's in the media. There's no more because of social media. So why not just make sure that you control the message. And the only way to control a message these days is by having your own voice say it first.
David, what's the movie that you're reviewing for us this week?
I'm reviewing a show, if you don't mind. It's a show that I was introduced to 2 days ago, written and directed by BJ Novak, called The Premise.
Uh-huh.
It's
I love
a five-episode show, totally separate
anthology
30-minute episodes. Has anyone on the microphone today heard of this or seen it?
I saw the first four episodes last night, all of them.
Oh, really?
Just coincidentally?
Yes.
Oh, it's because like it's like a year and a half old or something.
They're 20-minute episodes.
Yeah, they're very funny.
I just watched it 2 days ago when we never even talked about this. That's quite insane that our algorithms are that similar, because I just watched Vengeance. And so then it said, here's what else you'd like. And there was the premise.
And what are you saying about it? Because I thought it was creative. For those who do not know, you want to let them know what the premise is?
Well, there's five different premises. So he introduces them, and there's five 30-minute episodes. The last episode is about someone, it was about vengeance, actually, believe it or not, someone who is bullied as a child and gets the ultimate revenge. There's episodes about someone who, there's an episode about a woman who gets obsessed with social media and a commenter on social media, and it ends up ruining her life. And so there's just these little vignettes that are brilliant, and BJ Novak is not in any of them, mm-hmm. as opposed to Vengeance that he's in. So all you have to do is watch five 30-minute shows, and I strongly suggest it. I never watched The Office, I'm sorry to admit, so I was not familiar with his work, really, other than maybe in Inglourious Basterds, and he's brilliant. So I have two in a row that I did with him, Vengeance and The Premise, and now I'm all in on BJ Novak.
Which one was your favorite, David? Which episode?
It's the last one.
The butt plug?
It's called Butt Plug.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it, right?
Yeah, you haven't
the
watched
soliloquy
that,
in Butt Plug by the bully. The soliloquy is one of the great pieces of acting I've seen this year.
Did you watch
when he was presenting the butt plug?
Did you watch the Emmys at all? Did you have any interest in
every
the
minute? Every minute.
And what are your thoughts?
I love the Emmys, and I love the fact I thought that they spread the awards around very well. Let's say that, and I'm very pleased about that. I would say that there are certain shows that should be watched more than others, and I think that Abbott Elementary will get the biggest bump from the Emmys, will get the biggest audience bump, and I think what the Emmys tried to do by being more hip and being more fast, I didn't think Kenan Thompson was particularly strong as a host. I thought Pete Davidson was an absolute nothing, and how he got the right to announce what he announced and why. Sunglasses and some sort of tracksuit. You're not that cool because you date all these chicks and have tattoos, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're just not. How did he get that job that is normally reserved for someone who has some sort of gravitas in the industry? And I'd love the King of Staten Island, but he does not have the gravitas. So that was my biggest problem with it.
You know why. It's the Emmys air on NBC. So they're going to use all of their people to do all that. I mean, that's
And he's super famous.
And that's why Saturday Night Live wins Best Variety 4 years rolling. I get it. I get it. Listen, it's like these podcast awards. Take a look at who sponsors the podcast awards, and then you can see who wins the awards.
Wait a second.
I get it.
Can we sponsor the podcast awards?
Wait, it's the Webbies, right?
The Webbies brought to you by Cinephobe, the podcast where Zach Harper and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, try to ascertain whether or not they're accurately rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe, produced by Anthony Mates, wherever you get podcasts.
I mean, how is it that you get to promote your pod every time you're on the air?
Because
you work it in every time.
David, because I do it.
David, what did you think about the Quinta Brunson, Jimmy Kimmel situation?
You want to tell people what that is? Jimmy Kimmel laid on the stage, played dead during her acceptance speech. She was bothered by it or confused by it.
Yeah, it was a bit during the presentation. Apparently, Jimmy Kimmel was supposed to be quote-unquote blackout drunk. He was dragged out onto the stage by Will Arnett, and he just laid there the entire presentation and the acceptance of the award. So Quinta Brunson had to step over Jimmy Kimmel to get her award, and all Twitter got was ablaze because it looked like a white guy was preventing a black woman from getting her award.
So can I ask you, I mean, there's no way to do this in any way that doesn't make me look white and privileged. Mm-hmm. What Jimmy Kimmel did by not ending the bit and going off the stage, it just wasn't funny. The bit was over, and once the award is done, he should have stood up and stepped to the back the way all presenters do. But is that only the case because the winner of that award was black? And so now it's white privilege. And if the award winner had been white and he had done that, then no one would have been outraged. Is that what people are saying right now?
Yes. I happen to think that was poor timing. And also the fact that she was going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live on Wednesday. And that was also interesting. So I don't know if they talked about it or not.
But no, she said she was confused by it, and they did end up taping something in which they addressed it. And I'm assuming from her quotes that she addressed it sternly with him. But I do hate the phrase "Twitter was ablaze."
Well, I had to think of something.
No,
damn.
No, I'm just saying that. I'm not even saying the phrase. I'm just saying the sentiment. Twitter was ablaze. Twitter exists to be ablaze.
So Roy is just saying that he took the bit too far, which that doesn't really happen around here, so can't really relate. But
see you later, David. We will talk to you next week. Nothing Personal is the name of his podcast, even though he doesn't promote it every time like he did this week in his first answer to his first question, saying that if you want more information on Sarver, better information
David
on Sarver.
David complaining about podcast plugs is funny.
Unbelievable.
Every sentence, as we discussed on Nothing Personal, which, by the way,
At least I try to work it into the show where Amin just stops the conversation to talk about
Amin's got us all beat because he's got a spiel. It's a whole bit where you say the same sentence over and over again, and then we say, "Hey, Amin, what cynophobe?" And then he does the spiel. David, you got to get a spiel.
I'd love to get a spiel. Maybe today at 11:45, I'll get a spiel. Wait to see.
See you later, Samson.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone, with 3 times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight, or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Le Batard.
And finally, abstaining from food for 16 to 18 hours a day could be key to treating a variety of health conditions like stabilizing blood sugar levels and increasing resistance to stress.
Stugatz.
Mike, are you doing something like this right now?
I lost a lot of weight doing intermittent fasting and low carb, so now I'm getting back to it.
But how much in that 6 to 8 hour window, how much can you eat? Unlimited?
If I could just eat unlimited, I'd do that. That'd be fun.
For 6 to 8 hours.
You can't eat unlimited.
Try me.
No, I mean...
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
A happy 61st birthday to Dan Marino.
A happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Happy birthday, Nat.
I wonder if people feel old when they hear 61st birthday for Dan Marino the way that I feel old when I see Chris Carter doing a commercial for walking. He's like, on behalf of Skechers, I'm Chris Carter, Hall of Fame football player, and I walk. Also, a happy 33rd birthday to Jimmy Butler.
A happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
I have a positive and meaningless Tua Tagovailoa stat. He has the highest quarterback winning percentage versus Super Bowl winning head coaches in NFL history. Minimum six starts.
So it's four against Belichick. Who are the others?
He's got John Harbaugh this week as well, and I don't know who the others are. You have asked a question that have stumped me.
Can we go back a second? Dan Marino and Jimmy Butler have the same birthday?
Yes.
Is that not like a chosen one prophecy thing for Miami sports fans?
That they'll always come close, but no cigar?
That they'll have birthdays and not win championships.
They'll have statues outside of the arena.
Well, you say statues outside the arena, and I saw something here that I wanted to ask Amin, which is that Kyle Lowry has an 86% chance of making the Hall of Fame, better than Klay Thompson, better than Draymond, better than Jokic. An 86% chance, I guess it's Pro Basketball Reference is the place that you would go to get that percentage.
So what they're doing, they have an algorithm that basically takes into account every single Hall of Famer's career and inputs their stats and their accolades, how many All-NBA teams, how many All-Defensive teams, et cetera, et cetera. And then they run a regression to see what is the typical profile of a Hall of Famer. So then any player in the league right now, you can put in, hey, he's played 7 years, he's got four All-NBA teams, da, 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 and he's scored 18,000 points, whatever. What are his chances? And that's the number it spits back out.
We've got a big game in college football for us here locally, Texas A&M and Miami. Texas A&M's loss has resulted in game day is going to Appalachian State this week instead of doing Texas A&M Miami. And I know that Jessica has been laughing at and haunted by this midnight yell.
Oh, no, I think it's great, Dan. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Such a great tradition at Texas A&M.
I'm scared of these kids, man.
You can be laughing at and haunted by something that you're also enjoying. Laughter and haunting seems to be fun in certain places. And this midnight
yell. I'm scared of ghosts, so.
And this midnight yell is something that I think has been creepy. Texas A&M is a very powerful institution. They have scrubbed the internet of some of this stuff, including this cringy sound from a couple of weeks ago. It's bad stand-up. And this no longer exists on the internet, but we've still got the sound to give you a dollop of what it is that this crud sounds like.
Y'all, I had to Google this team to make sure that they're even real. I was really confused because Appalachia is definitely not a state. But sure enough, I found them, and they're located deep, and I mean deep, in the backwoods, just like you would think any hillbilly college that names themselves the Mountaineers. I just hope that these guys can get here tomorrow all right, because I know for a fact that half of their football team can barely even read the name on their jerseys, let alone read a map. It's a shame that the only two brain cells that all these guys have left are going to get knocked out by our Wrecking Crew defense tomorrow.
I want there to be a grid of death punishment where you have to speak for an entire show in that staccato. Talk like this every single time you have a point to make. Everything has to be delivered just like this. Also, have any of you ever been to College Station?
Yes.
No.
It's not like, it's surprise, surprise. It's not Paris, City of Lights. For this guy, it's deep in the middle of nowhere, kind of like College Station.
Meadowlark has an investigative arm newly formed that we go throughout sports looking to see if we can find things to entertain the masses. And we have found our investigative team fighting against the power of Texas A&M. They are evidently rehearsing for whatever it is that they're doing against Miami here in the next couple of days. And we have exclusive audio that Meadowlark Media's investigative arm has found.
A right-hand arm, man? Arm? Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, man. That's a white belt? This is great.
Howdy, Army! Howdy! Well, it's been a bit of an interesting week for me, personally. As you all know, our Fighting Texas Aggies fell short last week. and I offended a lot of mighty fine folks in Appalachia. Thankfully, that won't be an issue this week, because our fighting Texas Aggies are going to clobber those Canes. And thankfully, thanks to a friend, a Giggum friend by the name of Chris Cody, who unfairly circulated a photo 20 minutes before kickoff on a 110-degree day of two empty bandstands against an FBS opponent and the visitor section, I know that there aren't a lot of Miami fans to offend. Giggum. Giggum. Regardless, I'm not going to take too many shots at the great city of Miami. Because the more I dig deep, and I mean deep, I realize that there are a lot of similarities between Miami and College Station.
Tell them.
Miami is a nightlife mecca. They have Club Space. We have Chicken Dixie. They have Faena, The Standard, The Ritz, and we have an Embassy Suites. Miami is a center for hedonism, drugs, and alcohol. And we have Johnny Manziel. They have organized crime, violence, ne'er-do-wells, rabble-rousers, and we have my dad, who will sue you.
Cody, you're killing it.
They have a lot of transplants. So does Coach Fisher. They have stolen elections. We have stolen valor. Despite all our similarities, our fighting Texas A&M Aggies are going to clobber those Canes on Saturday.
Yes.
Because that Miami football team is about as phony as that town's ghost candidates.
Because Miami reference.
It's a good thing they hired a Super Mario, because they're going to need a plumber, because their glory days are stuck deep. And I mean deep in the 1990s. Now let's have a fighting Texas Aggie yell.
Yeah. Midnight yell. Let's go. There it is.
M is holding on for dear life.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.